is VOA News. I'm Tommy Lee. U.S. President Trump is spending the weekend at his Mar-a-Lago resort while getting ready for his impeachment trial starting Tuesday. AP Washington correspondent Sagar Magani reports from the White House.
The president's legal team figures the trial will last no more than 2 weeks, which would be far shorter than Andrew Johnson's trial in 1868 and Bill Clinton's in 1999. But there's still a question about whether the Senate will allow more witnesses, which could extend the trial. It takes a supermajority to convict 67 senators. Both Johnson and Clinton were acquitted, and President Trump figures he's next. Dershowitz and ex-independent counsel Ken Starr, among others. Sagar Magani at the White House.
U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said Friday he was unaware the former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine allegedly was subjected to surveillance and threats in Ukraine, but he said that he was obligated to investigate the accusation. He asserted eventually would be proven to be untrue. Democratic lawmakers disclosed the information that was provided by an associate of President Trump's personal attorney, indicating former Ambassador Marie Yovanovitch was under surveillance. The information also suggests that Yovanovitch may have been threatened shortly before Mr. Trump removed her in May. Pompeo said the State Department would investigate.
My obligation as Secretary of State is to make sure that we evaluate, investigate.
The allegations are central to the Senate impeachment trial against Mr. Trump, who has been charged with abusing his power by pressuring Ukraine to investigate Democratic political rival Joe Biden and Biden's son. More at VOAnews.com. This is VOA News. The Taliban said Friday its latest meetings with representatives of the United States and Qatar have discussed the signing of a peace deal between the two adversaries to end their 18-year-old Afghan war. The insurgent group's assertions come 2 days after its political envoys in the Qatari capital Doha offered a brief partial ceasefire in a bid to end the latest deadly violence in their troubled direct dialogue with Americans. The Taliban negotiating team spokesman said on Twitter that both sides discussed matters related to the ceremony of the signing of the agreement in meetings over the past 2 days. Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, led Friday prayers in Tehran for the first time in 8 years. As Reuters' Joe Davies reports, Khamenei said Iran would not succumb to pressure from the American clowns, as he puts it, who imposed damaging sanctions on Iran.
Khamenei described the retaliatory attacks in response for America's killing of Iran's top military commander as a day of God. In killing Qasem Soleimani, he told them the United States had showed its terrorist nature. And Khamenei warned that U.S. sanctions imposed in a row over its nuclear program would not make Iran yield. The support shown here will surely have been met with some relief to Iran's clerical leaders. At home and abroad, they've been under pressure after the military admitted to mistakenly shooting down a passenger airliner in Tehran earlier this month.
The highest court in the state of Virginia is upholding a ban on firearms at a pro-gun rally in the state's capital. AP correspondent Mike Rossi explains why.
Gun rights groups challenging an executive order issued by Virginia Governor Ralph Northam have lost their case before the Virginia Supreme Court. The gun proponents wanted to overturn an executive order issued by Northam on Wednesday, banning guns on the Capitol grounds at an annual gun rights rally next Monday. Northam cited credible threats in issuing the order and declaring a state of emergency. Concurrently, the FBI announced the arrest of 6 men linked to a white supremacist group known as The Base. An official told the Associated Press at least 3 of them were planning to attend the rally in Richmond. I'm Mike Gracia.
The first member of Congress to endorse President Donald Trump to be president was sentenced Friday to 2 years and 2 months in federal prison after admitting he helped his son and others dodge $800,000 in stock market losses when he learned that a drug trial by a small pharmaceutical company had failed. Ex-Congressman Christopher Collins was sentenced by U.S. District Judge Vernon S. Broderick in Manhattan after the Republican pleaded guilty in October to conspiracy to commit securities fraud and lying to enforcement officials. I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.